The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
In the second half, the program is live and underway, and we thank you for continuing to stay with us. Let's get back to our calls. Guests have been all over the place today, and we appreciate so many people dropping in. And how about Bob, who is in New York? Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great, Bob. Thank you.
Very good. As the NCAA tournament's approaching, watching the games and getting excited for the tournament, free throws, so important. You know, it's like being a former pitcher, covering first base, learning how to bunt successfully in crucial situations. But you see some of the games, free throws, and these three-point teams that are hot, when they're hot, but in a tournament, usually when a team goes cold like that, they can't get the whole final job done.
I always look at free throw in a different sport. It's like when a football team has momentum and then they miss a field goal, it always never fails that the other team comes back and scores. And in an NCAA basketball tournament, the pressure is high. You are going to get fouled, especially if you're ahead. And if you miss free throws, you're going to blow the lead.
And, it's just a big deal. And even I remember Shaq one time saying that, you know, somebody asked him, about, you know, with the free throw shooting, he says, hey, I get nervous.
I think free throws are in football, field goals, in golf, a short putt. You've done it a million times, and, you know, PGA professionals, you know, should be able to make a three-foot putt with their eyes closed, but add the enormous pressure of trying to win the Masters, and suddenly you see the ball do a lot of really, you see the putter go back in a lot of very crazy ways. Thank you for the call. Russell is in Charlotte, and you are on the air. Hey, Russell.
Hey, Paul. First-time caller. I appreciate you having me on. Big
Thank
Auburn
you.
Fan. Actually, my question was about your introductory kind of each segment, the music. I get a kick out of the music, and I was curious if that music is something that is your influence on or your genre, or if that's just something that a producer tees up for you. I was just always got a kick out of the music. I really
now let
really
me make sure, Russell, are you talking about the theme music to the show? Or Well, that's easy to answer.
Not the theme music, just the different songs that are played before
each
segment.
Okay,
so we had an AC/DC song on earlier.
Yeah, let me make it clear. It sounds like the UN here. There are two feeds of the show that go out simultaneously. There's a television feed, and then there's a radio feed. The radio feed music is done by today. It'll be done by Emily, who's in Connecticut, and it's very important. Back when we were only a radio show, we had quite a reputation for trying to match the music to whatever was happening. And obviously ESPN Radio has the preeminent producers. And I don't hear that music. But I'm told by many of my friends it's quite good.
Yeah, it's good. So that, Emily, I have to thank for that. I listened to the feed through the app. So
yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
War Eagle, I appreciate your coverage of Coach Harsin. So excited about the new Auburn football regime, and happy for Gus that he landed in what looks like a great situation.
Yeah, it's. I tell you what, we should all be so fortunate to get fired from a dream job and do as well as Gus Malzahn.
No doubt, his checkbook is healthy, and we wish him well. But we're excited for what Coach Harsin has going on, and maybe I'll check back with you when we get up in the season.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah, again, Emily Heibel doing the music today. And, back in the day, we would really push the envelope on the music. When we were just a radio show, I'm quite frankly hoping we don't do as quite as daringly as we used to. It was dangerous. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Joe is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. Let me try that again. Joe, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, go right ahead. I didn't mean to. You are on the air.
All righty. Listen, I just wanted to tell your baseball analyst that he needs to dig a little deeper back in the history of SEC baseball. The first stadium that was really built and brought about was by the guy who started all this, and that was Ron Pope. Duty Noble was redone and built while Alex was still a box down there. But
right.
People started to take notice when Ron Pope was drawing 5,000 and 6,000 people to ball games, 11,000 and 12,000 at NCAA regionals when they're playing Michigan and some of the others. And in fact, probably they hold 6 or 7 of the top 10 attendance records for ball games in the nation. And at that time, you know, you go over to a lot of the other schools from Ole Miss to Georgia, and they still just had wooden bleachers in the on the fields. And so, and actually, you know, and besides Ron Pope, it had to be, you know, Berkman down at LSU was number 2. Those two guys are what made the SEC baseball what it is today and what people started to emulate.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Ron Polk is a legendary figure. I'm trying to, you know, put my memory bank to work. And, you know, Skip Berkman, who later became the athletic director, Auburn had Hal Beard, if I remember correctly, another very – he had, you know, a lot of great players from Bo Jackson to Frank Thomas. And there were quite a group. I mean, there were not many. I mean, the league had great baseball, but I would agree with you on that. Mississippi State baseball has always seemed to, like, it's sacrosanct. But thanks for sharing that. That's, I'm glad we were able. Kyle is, you know, I wasn't asking Kyle for a history lesson. I was just asking him for some perspective on what's happening right now in contemporary SEC. But it would be worthwhile to spend some time one day as we transition out of basketball into baseball to do a really deeper dive, because, you know, this just didn't happen. It happened because there were some trailblazers, as the gentleman you mentioned. And as a result, we have now almost unexplainable success in baseball. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Carrie is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Carrie.
Hey, Paul, it's great to see you, or great to talk to you.
Thank you.
And Roll Tide. I do want to ask you a question. Did you ever think that you would live to see the day that Alabama team would outrank North Carolina team in basketball?
No. North Carolina, I keep up with them quite a bit, living in the state like you, and I just have a pretty strong suspicion that Roy Williams has stayed at the party too long.
Now, that is a strong possibility, and the real reason I called was, why do you think that some of the southern state colleges will not go ahead and just jump into the higher level hockey ranks, such as Arizona Sun Devils? I mean, they're in the top tier with the ice hockey, but for some reason down here in the South, they just won't do that. Most colleges do have club hockey.
Yeah, no, when I was in Alabama, I know UAH had a great team. You know what's interesting, Kerry? I was a hockey fan as a kid because where I lived, they had a minor league hockey team, and we thought it was great. We'd never seen anything like this before. But hockey is becoming fairly popular. I mean, Nashville is a hockey town, as you know. The Raleigh area is a big hockey town. In Florida, you have great success in the Tampa area in hockey. So I am a little surprised, because it's far more popular than maybe it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Yes, it is. I mean, even there in Birmingham, you got Eli Gold calling a Southern Professional
right.
Hockey League. And then you got the Huntsville team. Here in North Carolina, we actually have four professional teams.
Oh, really?
You mentioned the Hurricanes. Then in the American Hockey League, we got the Charlotte Checkers.
Right, right.
In the Southern Professional Hockey League, we got the Fayetteville Marksmen. And in the Federal Professional Hockey League, you've got the Carolina Thunderbirds, which is stationed in Winston-Salem.
Okay.
So hockey is growing in the South, and I believe it's time that the colleges just start, you know, just throw in and go ahead and get started. I know they're in I forget where Georgia has their campus, but they're building a nice facility for their club hockey now.
Well, I have to tell you, I've never really given it much thought. I'll give it some more thought. Thanks for the call. Donna is in Arkansas. Donna, thanks. Welcome in.
How are you, Paul?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I was just going to say the Alabama fans was out in full force yesterday talking smack. Where are they at today? Winnipeg City.
We are developing quite a nice little rivalry here between Alabama and Arkansas in basketball. It feels like Wimp and Nolan Richardson are back in charge. In the 90s, you had Arkansas and Kentucky and Arkansas and Alabama. Those were preeminent games. And I'm glad we have it rekindled here. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in next with who we got here. JB up next. Hey, JB, thank you for the call.
Yeah, what's up, Paul? Just got done playing golf, and I just want to tell you, Donna's obviously never seen a basketball game in her life. She's ridiculous. That's exactly what I wanted to call about. Let's just talk about Doug Stoves and his crew and the way they ran that game last night. Arkansas did not get called for one shooting foul the entire second half. Have you ever seen that, ever?
No.
No, okay. And nobody has, because it's never happened. We obviously shot 8 free throws, really 6 free throws, and then the double technical at the end of the game, which, you know, I've been calling for a long time, obviously very passionate about Alabama basketball. And what that game could have been in Bud Walton was not, because of the way Doug Stoves and his crew ran the game.
Yeah, the person you're referring to is a fairly well-known basketball official who has been known. I mean, I think he's got his own website. He's not hard to miss if you're an SEC no. basketball fan.
Yeah, and I guess he's, you know, it felt like he took the game over. And in the beginning, you know, it was fine. I don't think Alabama played well, maybe not well enough to win the game. But when they're handcuffed literally every time, how are they supposed to defend at the rim when Arkansas can drive and we get a foul, or we get a foul called on us on every single play? It was ridiculous, I thought.
Well, again, I don't know what the SEC supervisor is looking at today. I know there have been a lot of complaints. I am one that's not going to really matter. It was a great matchup. It didn't turn out to be a great game. Was it the officiating? Was it Musselman's defense? Was it Alabama being cold? Hopefully they'll meet again. Maybe they'll have a different crew in Nashville. Thanks for the call. We will take a break. More of your calls right now at 855-242-7285. Stick around. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back here Thursday afternoon, and let's see, Dwight is up next in Fort Worth. Hey, Dwight.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how are you doing?
We are great. Thank you. Hope you're well.
Yeah, this is my first time calling, and I'm pretty excited to be on.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to kind of change up the topic, talk about A&M football. I was kind of looking at our schedule. It looks pretty good, like we can kind of win out minus the Alabama game. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that game, if you think you got a chance to beat them this next year.
Yeah, the game, of course, is in College Station. So, you know, A&M – yeah, compared to a couple of years ago when they had to deal with Clemson back-to-back, they opened with Kent State, Colorado. I think those are very manageable in New Mexico. And, yeah, right now I look at the schedule and I see Alabama, and I think that's it. I think the Aggies can manage everything else. The A&M game, let me see, is in LSU is in Baton Rouge, so I wouldn't rule yeah. that one out, but I think it's a really manageable schedule. Now, I'm not looking past anyone. I know a road game at Missouri can be tricky. You know, Ole Miss, you don't know about late in the year, but right now, I think this is a great schedule for A&M.
Gotcha. Thank you. That's all I want to talk about. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, Dwight, you call back again. Thank you very much. Let's check in with Merrill, who is in Charleston on this Thursday afternoon. Hey, Merrill.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Listen, I want to get back to the playoff, considerations for, that we've been talking about. I have what I think is a really good formula. You have an 8-team playoff. Okay. You take the winners of the Power Five conferences. And this year, the only outlier would be Oregon. But anyhow, and then you have six teams do a play-in. So you have Notre Dame, Texas, A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, Georgia, and Iowa State doing a play-in for the other three positions. What do you think?
Merrill, I like it. It's an interesting concept. Now, liking it and thinking it will ever see the light of day are two different things. We had Jack Swarbrick here yesterday, and he made a lot of news with his comments about the NIL and the playoff, and we're about to talk about it with Brandon Marcello. And these people who run college football are not the most nimble-minded when it comes to making dramatic changes. And your proposal is a very dramatic change. He indicated that they would certainly going to consider expanding the field, but that your plan is just a little too revolutionary for them. But I like it though. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very, very much. Wayne is up next in Georgia. Hey, Wayne, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, how we doing, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Wanted to ask you two questions about Auburn. Did the quarterback from South Carolina, the five-star, did he go to Auburn?
It seems like he did, but don't let me double check on that. I'm in a blur. I know Brooks committed and signed from Tennessee, and I vaguely remember seeing something about him, but give me a second on that. I hate to make a declaration without being sure.
Okay. And the other question was, how do you think Auburn's going to do this year?
Well, I can give you an opinion on that. I think it will be tough when you consider the transition. It was, there is talent on that team, and I think the Brooks pickup was very important. A lot depends on Bo Nix. I've been proven wrong a couple of times by believing in Bo Nix, but I still believe he's got enormous talent. It's just a matter of whether his talent matches Brian Harsin's system. But I think the schedule is extremely difficult. And what I mean by that is the non-conference game at Penn State. You can't find a few, but not many. tougher games. To have a road game at Penn State, at LSU, of course Georgia, of course Alabama, at A&M. I think seven wins looks realistic. Maybe squeaking out eight, but I'm going to have to believe it. Believe a little. I'm going to have to learn a little bit more before I can go. I just don't think this will be a typical Auburn year. I think this could be a clearly a transitional year. Now, having said that, Auburn and in the history of Auburn, we've seen some very interesting transitions. We saw a coach have an undefeated season in 1993. We saw Gus Malzahn in his first season come within a play of a national championship. So there is some precedent for great first years, but I think this will be extremely difficult. Let's check in with Chris, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Paul. It's good to talk to you. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I've got two or three things just to bring up real quickly. I won't hold you up. But one, first of all, I'm usually one to make fun of the teams or the fan base that criticize the referees after a game. I'm usually pretty quick to say, just suck it up. Y'all lost. Deal with it. But I have to admit, last night's game was was pretty embarrassing from a neutral standpoint and trying to watch the game and enjoy it. So I think it was pretty bad. But anyway, that's not why I called you. The main reason I called you, two things. One, to tell you one of my memories of your show. I've been watching your TV show for the last several weeks and enjoying it very much. But before that, I used to listen to you on the radio when I was traveling a lot on the road. And one of my most memorable shows of yours was just after the tornadoes came through Tuscaloosa and in Alabama. I was living down that way at that time. And you had on your radio show, an interview with a former retired, I think he was a retired meteorologist, who described his firsthand account of a tornado up in the Athens, Alabama area.
Right.
And what he saw. And that stuck in my mind. He was so compelling in listening to his description of what he witnessed and him attempting to survive his house being blown apart. And That was really, really amazing to think back. I still think about that from time to time, and it's coming up on that time of year.
Yeah, Chris, that tornado was April 27th, 2011, and I would say in the history of the show, this is pre-ESPN, that was one of the most difficult experiences that I think the audience has ever had, because it was such a horror. That tornado nearly wiped out Bryant Denny Stadium. It affected a lot of other areas as well. And we made a decision on the program to just go all to spend. We really spent the next 4 weeks primarily talking about that, the recovery. And it was unlike anything we'd ever done. Now, the pandemic was a little bit different because it was a global situation, but. I'm glad you remember. I distinctly remember talking to that gentleman as well.
Yeah, it was incredible. He literally dove into a closet and tried to hold on to the floor with his fingernails, trying to survive as the floor was lifted off the bottom of the house and taken out across his yard. I mean, I just listening to that just still echoes in my mind. The last thing is a suggestion for a possible future show for you, an interview. Might be, you probably have already tried to get him, but Jeremy Pruitt, it'd be interesting to hear his.
You know, Chris, I would say the odds of that happening are infinitesimal right now, but we'll give it a shot.
All right, well, thank you very much. Enjoy your show. It's the first time I've called in. I really appreciate your show.
I appreciate you calling. I don't think Jeremy's doing any interviews, but one more thing on the tornado. The reason why it was I mean, everyone had a different memory of it, but where we were located in Birmingham, the tornado was literally coming right toward us. And some of you may have heard me say this on the 30 for 30 about the tornado. But some of our guys were outside trying to keep an eye on it, it was about the track was about a mile to a mile and a half away, and we went to a break, I was not kidding. I said, we'll keep you updated on the tornado. I said, we will be back right after this, and I paused and said, I hope, and I was not kidding. It was that scary. Thanks for the call. We'll take a break. A couple of guests are about to drop on by, including Brandon Marcello, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. Always great to say hello to Brandon Marcello, who has been on this program many, many times. Of course, national columnist now. And Brandon, thank you for making the time. We were just listening to Jack Swarbrick, who was here yesterday. And I don't know, exactly where we're heading, but he did have some interesting comments that I know you have addressed today. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? You know, as much as we're concentrating on name, image, and likeness and all of that right now, that's going to work itself out at some point. Same with the EA Sports video game. Notre Dame's going to be in that game. It's just a matter of them figuring everything out. But the big thing that's really lingering over all of us is the playoff. And what Jack said yesterday really caught my eye on your show about how he's leaning in favor of expanding the playoff and maybe not necessarily shaking it up immediately and just changing things, but they need to be more inclusive. And listen, we're getting to a point where it's not necessarily about, well, Cincinnati, if they got in, they wouldn't have won a national championship. I don't think anyone's really arguing that if we expand the playoff, a team like Cincinnati is going to win it. They might make the national championship game. And if you look at these first 7 years of the college football playoff, 22 of the 28 spots have been claimed by the same five teams. There is just no parity, really. And the reason why for that is because the playoff field is so small. So as I wrote today, Paul, it'd be like, imagine if we go in the NCAA men's basketball tournament this season and we said, we're just going to make it a four-team, tournament, single elimination tournament. If we did that every year, it would be very similar. It'd be something like 22 of 28 teams make up the first 7 years of that new NCAA tournament. It's time to expand it. It's time to give other teams an opportunity to play for something more than just going to the Independence Bowl or whatever. And I'll tell you this right now, the conversation, we've been hearing from bowl people and from these players that don't want to go play in some of these bowls that don't matter much to them. They need some importance added to that. And as we have seemed to have just focused for whatever reason on just the playoff, this is an opportunity to expand that horizon for everybody, give more opportunity. And then also, when we're in November, we don't necessarily know who's all going to be in the playoff. It just seems like over these last several years, it's just a foregone conclusion who we're going to see in the playoff. We try to create drama about who's the fourth team in, and then there's never really a surprise there. We need to expand the field, give more people opportunities, and I think it's inevitable. You got people, you got the athletic directors, you got presidents, you got the majority of the AFCA, the coaches association, saying they're in favor of expanding it. I think when this thing's all said and done here in 5 years, when this deal kind of expires and they can rework things, I think the field's going to expand.
I agree with everything you've said, and these are really bright guys, and men and women. Jack Swarbrick, he's got a Stanford law degree. He's a corporate lawyer. I mean, he's just as interesting as anybody I've spoken to as an athletic director, but they still seem reluctant to do anything until they have to, though. Now in 5 years from now is a long time. Why can't they do anything sooner, Brandon?
Well, they certainly could. And I thought that if there was an opportunity to try something new, it was this past year. I talked about this on your show before, Paul, and back in the summer. Why not temporarily expand things this year in 2020 when we weren't necessarily sure if we knew who the top four teams are going to be because of the shortened schedules across the country, the Pac-12 only playing so many games, Big Ten playing only so many games, everybody doing things differently. Now, it worked out in the end because Alabama, as I predicted and many did, they just dominated everybody and they end up winning the national championship. So really no argument to be had there. But there is a question of shouldn't have other teams gotten some opportunities? Shouldn't have Cincinnati been in there? So in a year where the schedules were all oblong, no one had a similar schedule just in amount of games, why didn't we just try that out once? We're already talking about it. They're talking about it. Why not try out an 18 field just once in this one weird year we're having where nothing's normal? Try it out. See what happens. And we didn't do that. They were strong on, no, we're sticking with a 14 playoff. We're going to do this. It just sounded so much like the BCS talk in the dying days. Remember that? I mean, it just seemed like they didn't want to let go of what seemed normal to them instead of just trying to be flexible. Everybody else was flexible this year with scheduling games. Why can't we change things and just test it out? And goodness gracious, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it works, oh, my goodness, you've got this great idea here. Hey, maybe we should expand this thing to 8 games and make more money.
Brandon Marcello with us. Brandon, let's take a look ahead to spring ball and the upcoming season. You know, there's a lot of interest in basketball. This is the peak moment, or about to be. But spring football is also starting around the country. I think Clemson is about to hit the field. Others, the ones who got there early last year, made a very wise decision, as we both remember, March. But is it going to be the usual suspects, or is there going to be someone new to the party?
I think it's probably going to be the usual suspects again. I mean, if you want to look at teams that could be dark horses, maybe a North Carolina, maybe a Miami out of the ACC, but they've got to get through Clemson. I still think Clemson's going to be in the mix there, and I'm not so sure that we're going to see – it'd have to be something special where we see two ACC teams in the playoff once again. SEC-wise, it's going to be Bama and Georgia and everybody else, but – Texas A&M is on the rise. I think they're about maybe a year or two away from where we're saying they're going to challenge Alabama and potentially in the SEC championship and then the playoff. It's another year or two away. He's got to figure things out the post-Kellen Mond era, Jimbo Fisher does. But I think they're going to be in contention for playoff in the playoff race because of the way they're recruiting and Jimbo Fisher is so great as a head coach. I think it's going to happen with A&M. But out west, you look and you just shake your head and go, man, the Pac-12 is just such a non-factor. USC is uber talented, but I don't trust their coach. I just don't. I don't see that working out. I don't think Clay Helton's going to be there long for maybe another year or two. Oregon took a little bit of a step back this past year despite winning the Pac-12, but they lost 2-3 games. So I don't know if there's a surprise team out there this season that we're going to go, wow, they came out of nowhere and won the national championship or contended for it. Because as I said, just look at history. 5 teams have filled 22 of those 28 spots in 7 years. So why is that going to change anytime soon until we expand this thing?
Brandon, I ask you about Brian Harsin at Auburn because you've lived in Auburn. You've covered that program. And I like him. He seems like he is really bright and you know, has great command. But you also know the politics of that place and the culture. And I'm really curious, now that you're no longer there, how you think this is going to work.
It's a great question. Listen, the number one thing for Auburn right now is they have got to take the next step in recruiting. And I'm not saying that they've got to be top 10 every single year. They got to be top 5, and they have been unable to do that. That's the next step for them. The recruiting this past year took a little bit of a dip. That's part of the reason, one of many, that Gus Malzahn is no longer the coach there. But they, starting in 2022, they need top 5 classes. Otherwise, a team, a program like Texas A&M is going to take their spot in that second or third slot in the SEC West where they contend with Alabama and LSU to potentially get into the SEC championship game. So I think Brian Harsin's a great coach, but if the key is going to be recruiting, if they do not get top 5 classes at Auburn, I do not see them winning an SEC championship during Brian Harsin's era there. So they got to pick it up on the recruiting trail. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of more of the same there, where they're going to have a really great year, but come up short, and then they're going to have some mediocre years. Get that recruiting going. That's the way to win in the SEC. Georgia's doing it. Alabama's doing it. Texas A&M's doing it. If Auburn wants to keep pace on the field, they got to keep pace on the recruiting trail.
1 year and barely 2 months, we're short of 2 months from a national championship, and it just seems like LSU is experiencing a torrent of bad news. Now, most of the news yesterday involved Les Miles, but still, there's a lot of uncertainty there with this report about to come out and where it will lead. Before you go, Brandon, your thoughts on where LSU is?
Listen, when you start winning and you're an historic program, but you have off years and then you suddenly come back on the scene like they did a year ago, the eyes are focused on you. The dirt starts coming out. The good stuff starts coming out. But that dirt seems to always come out, and you got to start figuring out what to do there. And that's what's happening at LSU. And, you know, I hate to say this, but it's just the way it is, it seems like, in the news cycle. When the football season comes around next season, they better win. And if they do win, some of this stuff will be kicked off to the side, which, you know, should never be the case, because when human beings are involved, that's much more important than sport. But listen, we've seen this up close at other programs when they win a championship after not doing so for a while. I saw it at Auburn. You know, the dirt starts coming out a little bit, accusations and things, and then they start winning again. They'll seemingly go away for whatever reason, and that's probably the position LSU's in. But having said that, definitely we need to pay close attention to what's going on off the field there, and listen to the people involved in all of this, and listen to their voices, because too often we let those voices get lost in the dark.
Well said. Thank you very much, Brandon. Always good to see you. Brandon Marcello from 24/7 joining us. We are heading to the break. We still have another hour and change remaining on the program, and very special guest coming up in the next hour. John Plumlee, who is not only a quarterback at Ole Miss, but one of their top baseball players. He will join us coming up here shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome you back. End of the third hour is here, and Augie in New Orleans is up next. What's up, Augie?
Same old thing, Paul. How about you?
Doing well, thank you.
Before I make my first comment, have we heard from Harry lately?
No.
I hope Harry's doing okay out there.
I agree.
Thinking about him, because lately, Airborne, a.k.a. Mike Griffith, he's been tweeting a lot about Tulane. Now, how Tulane's relevant these days is beyond me, but it reminded me of Harry, so I'm hoping Harry's okay. Paul, what do you think, what was your first impression when you heard that Les Miles was hitting on a college student?
I was mortified that he was able to survive that.
I mean, would you have, before that report, have thought that of Les?
No. I've gotten to know Les, and he is a goofy, quirky guy, but yeah. I couldn't go beyond that. Now, I don't need to tell you. We don't always know what's behind the curtain, but
of course.
That was pretty. I realize everyone has a right to be heard, but I think he's already been heard in this, and it was fairly disgusting.
I would have never, ever thought that of Les. And as you say, he was a quirky guy. He was, I thought he was a terrible coach. But when I heard that news, I almost fell out of my chair. I mean, he's like the Bill Clinton of coaches when it comes to interns. And that was just shocking.
Yeah, and Augie, you know this as well. I mean, I hate to run here, but I mean, to me, it leads right to the culture of that program at the time. And I think that's going to be the big issue. We are heading to a break. Apologize for making that so short. We ran a little bit long. Another hour to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.